People would go, "You missed it, Pastor D. It was so good." I was like, "Geez, thanks. But if you were not here last week, you missed it, right? You missed it. It was whoosh. There was just the way we finished. You know, sometimes it's great to collect all of this, but then you do it, and you're like, whoa. So if you missed it, you can go online, and you can press all those buttons, and you can watch it. So what we talked about last week was Jacob. How many remember talking about Jacob? And he had this encounter. He had this dream where he encountered the Lord, and it just got bananas, right? And then afterwards, Jacob built this altar, and it changed his life. So we're going to take that ending part, and we're going to talk about altars today. And because altars that we build will change our life. So let me give you a little history of Bible altars, all right? Start reading in Genesis. Just read Genesis. How many of you have a read through the Bible every year? Oh, you ought to. It's pretty cool. Okay, read through the Bible every year. So that means every year I'm reading Genesis. Okay, I'm reading Genesis, and every year I read Genesis, and there's altars that Moses built. There's altars that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob built. And these were all these altars that were before Moses and the tabernacle. It was before Solomon built the temple. These are all before all of that big stuff happened, okay? And, you know, I read about them every year, and I go, you know, I think I know what they're about. And then I go, nah, Lord, I think there's something that's super important in these altars. So I started digging into these altars that you read about in the in Genesis especially. And I started studying them and I'm finding the symbolism and what they represent. And it just changed my prayer life. It really changed how I worship the Lord. Now, I was doing okay praying my prayer life, and I was doing pretty good worshiping the Lord. But when I saw this thing about these altars that were in the Old Testament, it just kind of changed. It took it to the level. How many want to go up a level with the Lord spiritually? Yeah. So hang in there. I'm telling you, this is going to be great today, and I'm really believing that for your life. So I have a main idea. If you're taking notes, here you go. Write this down. Altars alter you. Altars alter you, okay? And that means they change you. And they change you for the good. They change you for your good. Now, some of you, I know you're doing the altars before the Lord. You have a prayers and altars before the Lord and worship and stuff like that. But maybe you're going to be here today and you're like, I don't think I know anything. You are at the right place. We're going to have altars that alter us. Everybody say altars. Alter me. Amen. Okay. So we're going to look at two of Abraham's altars, okay? And we're going to see what God's trying to say to us. So the first thing I want to tell you about altars is Bible altars. They were made from uncut stones. They were made, and this is really important. This is really important. So God's saying, hey, I don't want you to go cut up some stones and make them pretty. I don't want you to cut them up and stack them like bricks. I don't want you to cut them up and put mortar between them. I want you to find raw uncut stones. That's how you're going to build your altar, with raw, uncut stones. And that is really important, so open up to your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, and you'll find out why. Exodus chapter 20. Okay, so God's saying, hey, go find these raw, uncut stones, and I want you to pile them up and build an altar, okay? Exodus chapter 20, here we go. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it, okay? So altars that were built with uncut stones were really important, and we're going to find out what they represent for us, okay? And we're going to understand why God said, hey, don't make them all pretty, don't polish them up, just leave them the way they are, all righty? And you know, and if you really think about this, God's saying, hey, listen, just go find some uncut, rough, maybe dirty ones, whatever, and what you can do is apply it to your life and say, God's going, hey, I don't want you to mask yourself before you get to me. You don't have to pretend you're something this and that. Just come raw and real. So that's what these stones have to do. They're going to pop a picture up there this is a modern picture of what I think a Bible altar looks like, okay? So you see these stones? They're pretty raw looking, right? Nothing polished, all right? And then they're piled up, and then there's wood on there, and typically you'd put the wood, and then you'd light the fire, and then you throw a sacrifice on top of that. So we're going to talk about how to build those altars in our life. We're going to talk about what these altars represent for us, what these stones represent for us, okay? And I'm telling you, your eyes are just going to open and see, and it'll help alter your life. Altars alter your life, all right? Now, how many of you got an issue going on in your life? How many had an issue by the time you hit the driveway here today? Whoa! So listen, we got issues in our life because it's life, right? Everybody say, I've got some issues. If not, we're going home with you. Gosh, all right? And but when we have an understanding about these stones, they're going to help us look at these issues and change, all righty? So I wrote this about stones and altars. I'm just going to read this to you, all right? So the altars are made out of stones, right? Altars were made out of huge rocks, which were broken into smaller rocks from great pressure inside the earth, from freezing and thawing, from volcanic activity, earthquakes, and rushing waters. All right, so these pieces originally come from these big rocks. This is like science lab. Here we go, okay? These pieces come from these big rocks, and you would find them in riverbeds and lake beds. You just find them laying around, and you find these raw rocks, and then you are to build an altar, all right? Now, this is what's important. Again, these are uncut rocks. These are rocks that had, these were originally huge rocks, and they had earthquakes with pressure on them. Sometimes winter, spring, summer, and thaw, this freezing and thawing put pressure on them. Sometimes it's water that put pressure on them. And it put pressure on these rocks, and they changed to these smaller ones, okay? And guys, life, it's about life. And sometimes we have pressures on our life. We have earthquakes going on in our life, and it starts changing us, all right? So we've got some things, pressure in our life. What am I going to do with it? I'm glad you asked. All right, here we go. So what do you do with these stones, all right? Or better yet, what do you think these stones mean besides picking them up and piling them up and doing that? Well, this is me telling you just a few things, so write this down. These stones represent a broken heart before the Lord. These stones represent a broken heart before the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about your heart got hurt because somebody, you know, said a few things. And that does hurt. But this is about us having a broken heart where we're surrendering these stones, these issues, this stuff before the Lord. All right? So anybody had those issues before you got here? All right, so you're going to take that issue, and we're going to say, God, in almost like a broken heart, where I go, God, I'm just surrendering this to you. I'm going to lay this before you. I'm going to build this altar with this stuff that's going on in my life, and then God comes in. All right, so the first thing is these stones recommend. What's that word? Thank you. Okay. Is that we're just surrendering, okay, to the Lord. Here's the second thing about these stones. They represent issues, okay, and issues, okay? And God's saying, hey, listen, take your issues. You don't have to dress them up. You don't have to cut them up. You don't have to polish them up. Just take them and just come before me with this stuff, these issues, these problems. Lay them before me and worship me and call on my name, okay? So the issues. Now, so I got to thinking about issues, all righty? Issues like, I wrote down some good ones. Issues in our life, all righty? Broken relationships, all right? And broken relationships are painful. And I remember Jack and I doing counseling with young people. Basically, Pastor Sherry does this, but they'll come to you and they're like, oh, I'm dating this person. I'm so in love. And then they break up. And somebody comes crying and bawling to you. And what we do is we try to help them in their pain because they have a broken heart, okay? The broken issues going on. There's definitely a pain if you go through divorce. There's a pain. There's a pain if you have somebody, a lost relationship, like someone passed away. There's a pain that with that. And so what you do is you take that and you say, I'm going to build an altar. I'm going to take this issue and I'm going to lay it before the Lord, okay? And I'm going to pile them up and say, here they are, Lord. And I'm going to do that, Lord, all righty? And maybe you have an issue in your life that might be a financial issue. And I want to tell you, the last couple years, there has been people have come through some real pressure in their life from finances, in their finances, okay? I was talking to Joe or Miss Jurl, and they have the Harvest of Blessing, and their numbers have increased like crazy increase the last couple years because people are having pressure in their finances. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of, just I was praying with this lady the other day. She and her husband are retired. They're in their 80s. They have a set income. And because of the high inflation, they're having pressure in their finances. Okay? They're having pressure in their finances. And so maybe you don't have pressure in your finances, but regardless, pressure in with issues with your teenagers. Man, I could have written a book, all right? Pressure with your teenagers. Oh, how many of this? Little pressure issues with your boss. Anybody have one of those? Bosses. Okay, Pastor Sherry's not here. She's going to say, Pastor D, so wonderful. Okay, in-laws, outlaws, you know, can put pressure issues on your life, right? Okay, so what do you do with these issues in your life? I'd say, Lord, I'm going to pile them up to you. I'm going to lay them before you. I'm not even going to try to dress them up and make pretty. Blah. Here they are, Lord. Okay? So this is what we do with issues in our life. Maybe you got a report from a doctor about your body. Okay? And he's telling you one thing. So what do you do when you hear that it puts a pressure on you? You're listening to this report. What do you do? Well, you're going to say, Lord, This is what they said, and I'm just going to surrender this to you, and I'm going to then just worship you and praise you and call you on your name for that, okay? So there's all kinds of issues, and sometimes we have addiction issues. Sometimes we have sin issues. Sometimes we just have issues, okay? So just imagine, everybody, like that picture, okay? There's that altar, and I'm going to take these issues. I see these issues and problems and pressure in my life. And Lord, I'm just going to take them before you. I'm laying them before you, Lord. All right? So that's what we do with these things, okay? Now, those issues, those stones in your life, you can do one of three things with them, all right? You know, you could just leave them there. Just leave them laying out there. You know, right away when I was thinking about that, walking into a teenager's room, and there's just stuff laying there, right? There's just stuff laying there all over the place, okay? And you can just leave your issues laying out all over the place. But you know what? They might cause an infection inside of you. They might be dangerous and create problems in the way you think. When you leave these issues that you just leave out all the place, they can, the way you think and the way you see people. So one, you can just leave your issues laying out. Two, you can take these issues and you start throwing at people, right? You're just zinging them at people. And why do we do that? We've done that because really the issue is that you're hurt. Okay, but you can take your issues that you're not doing anything, the right thing with them, and you just start, and I walk in the room, I'm like, I didn't do anything. Hey, what happened? What happened? Anybody ever have that happen? Someone just zinging their issues at you, okay? Or, this is the good one, ready? Or we can say, hey, you know what? I'm going to have this sort of spiritual transaction with the Lord. I'm going to take this issue, this problem, this pressure, this stuff here, and I'm going to put it before the Lord. And I'm going to worship him that he is the God that can walk me through this. I'm going to worship the Lord that he will hold my hand and take me through this. Regardless, I'm going to worship him in spite of all of this stuff because of who he is, all right? So, issues, all righty. Now, let's move on to Abraham. Abraham built two altars. Okay, and the first altar we're going to look at, the first one that he does, God appears to him. Psh, starts talking to him, and he's living in a place that would now be Iraq. That's where he's living, okay? And God starts talking to him, and he says, hey, you know what? I want you to leave that place. And oh, by the way, Abraham became the first Jew, all right? And out of him, God created the Jewish nation. So he's pretty special, all right? But he's not special right now. He's living in this place somewhere around Iraq. And then God gets hold of him and he says, hey, I want you to leave this place, okay? And he says, I want you to leave this place. I want you to go to the land of Canaan, and I'm going to make you a great nation. Anybody know that story? Right? All righty. And so we're going to look at these events that where he builds this altar to the Lord, because he's going to take some stones and they're really significant even to our life. So open up to Genesis. Don't even have to tell you where that is, right? Genesis, first book in the Bible. Some of you, smile. All right, Genesis chapter 12. Here we go. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's house to the land I will show you. To the land I will show you. Now, nowadays, I would be Googling or Google Earth or Google, tell me what the demographic is, okay? Tell me what's going on there. But he didn't get any of those little delightful things. He didn't get anything. So God says, I want you to go. All right? And you know, I was thinking about this. So you all think I'm just so sweet and nice, right? But a little feisty here. So I just imagine if Jack said, hey, pack your bags, we're moving. I go, what? Where? Huh? He goes, just pack your bags, we're moving. And y'all are like, yeah, right, buddy. Right? Y'all feisty too. Okay? But Abraham, he just packed his bags and then they moved. Things I think about when I'm studying this stuff. So, okay. Open up to Hebrews. Open up to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Here we go. I like this. I like the way Hebrews says this. All right. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith. Everybody say by faith. That's how we did it. By faith, Abraham. Woo! When called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance. Parents' favorite word, obeyed, ready, and went, even though he did not know where he was going. All right? This is amazing. This is really a big deal. This is a really big deal. So he's going to a land where he's not even sure where it is, and he's going to be a foreigner there, okay? And he's going to go to a land of giants. All righty? Now, giants. Think about giants. What do we think of when we talk about giants? The 12 spies, right? They go into the land, the promised land, and 10 of them come back, and they go, whoa, you know, we're like grasshoppers in these guys' sights, okay? Compared to them, we're just little grasshoppers, all righty? So everybody know that stories. And then, they're even like, you know, they're like the big old boys, and we're like grasshoppers, and they have a military, and they've got walled cities, and they've got iron chariots. Whoa, okay? So that's kind of what this Abram's doing there, okay? So, but Abraham goes, he takes his wife, he takes his nephew Lot and his wife, and he takes his servants and all his cattle, everything he's got, and they just pack up, and they're going to go to a place where he doesn't speak the language. Doesn't speak the language, okay? And they're going to walk into this place, and they are surrounded by giants, all right? And you know, he didn't know where God was taking him, and I sort of think, if he knew that was there, do you think he'd go? Maybe that's why God didn't tell him. So, but anyway, he didn't know where he was going, and he just packs up and he goes, okay? Back to Genesis chapter 12, we're going to pick up in verse 2. Verse 2 and 3, I think it's kind of the motivation to do it, okay? The motivation, right? All right, here we go. Verse 2. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, well, I will curse, and all the earth will be blessed through you. Now, the last part's really talking about Jesus, right? Okay? So God is going to form the Jewish nation, but really it's about Jesus, and Jesus was God. He always existed, and Jesus comes, leaves heaven. He comes to earth, born of a virgin, and the virgin's name is, and Mary is a? Jewish woman, right? Okay, so this is how he's going to birth the Jewish nation. Anyway, so God says, I'm going to make you a great nation, and he did. And God says, you know, all these things, blessings are going to come out. Now, God made him a promise, and I think this helped. You know, like Abraham's going, okay, God, you're telling me I don't know where I'm going. I got everybody packed, and I don't know about this, but you made a promise. So, and I like your promises. I will bless you. I'll make you a great nation, and all the nations of the world will be blessed. So, okay, I'm going to follow you, right? Can you just kind of see the little dialogue in between there, all righty? Now, let's read verse 4 and 5. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, that's his nephew. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife, his nephew, Lot, all the possessions they accumulated, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Cana, and when they arrived there. Okay, everybody say there. All right, so they're there. They're in the land of promise. They're there, okay? And now, OMG, there's giants there. That's probably a little scary, don't you think? All right? So there's giants there, and they have walled cities. They've got militaries. They've got chariots, okay? And now they're there, and they're really like nomads living in a tent. That's not my life, okay? They're living in tents. They don't speak the language, and there's giants surrounding them, and they're there. Everybody say they're there. All right. And now God leads him to a special place. Everybody say special place. Where he's going to build his first altar. So let's read verse 6. This is the special place where he's going to build his first altar. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the sites of the great tree of Moreh and Shechem. Underline that. We're going to talk about that. And at the time, the Canaanites, the giants, were in the land. All right. So here's what God wants you to see. There's giants in the land. You don't speak the language. There's walled cities, okay? And he's making sure we know. Abraham's like, oh, this is where you got me. What? We're here, okay? Okay, and it's kind of scary. So what does that have to do with us? Well, I don't know. You and I walking through this world some days is kind of scary, right? It's just kind of scary. It's rough. And that is why we build our altars. And we take our stones and we go, God, there's some giants. It's a little scary. God, there's some issues in my life. There's this financial thing. There's this health thing. There's this teenager thing. Okay? And that is why we build our altars. Because this world's a little scary sometimes. Okay. Look at verse 6 again. Okay, so he went to the great tree of Moreh and Shechem. Okay, every word in the Hebrew language is not face value. They always have a meaning behind the meaning, the name, okay? So I always want to say, before you give a kid a name, check out what it means, all right? Okay, mine is Davida, it means beloved. Score parents, okay. But this word Shechem, you know what it means? It means, it's a Hebrew word for shoulder. So God is saying, hey, I'm going to carry you on my shoulders. I am going to support you. So that's what that means. And then we have that word Moreh, and it means teacher or learner. So here's what God's saying to us, okay? Because you read between the lines, figure out what it's saying. God's saying, hey, you're in the land of giants. You got scary things. You got issues. It's this and it's that. It's there, okay? But listen, you can get on my shoulders. I will help carry you through that. And while I'm carrying you through that, don't you worry. I'm going to open your eyes and you're going to see and you're going to know things and you're going to know how and I'm going to walk you through that. I'm going to talk you through that, okay? Even though there's giants in the land. All right, so. There's Abraham, and he is like, okay, God, I'm going to stand on your shoulders, and I am trusting you. We talked about trust after worship. I'm going to trust you to be God in my life, all righty? Verse 7, this is a goodie. Here we go. Verse 7, here we go. The Lord appeared to Abram and he said, take your offspring and I will give you this land. That's the promise. So he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Okay, this is the first altar that Abraham builds, okay? And just imagine all these stones, right? They're laying around, and these stones, they represent all the ugly things in his life, those giants. I'm living in a tent, and I got all of this going on. How about these stones represent all the ugly things and the hard things and the hurtful things in our life, right? So what does he do? Get this. He doesn't even pray. He builds this altar, and this time he doesn't even pray. Second altar he does, but right now he's not even praying. You know, sometimes, I remember when I first received Jesus, I knew three prayers. Hail Mary, Our Father, and the Apostles' Creed. Oh, four. And God bless this Lord for that about to receive the bounty for Christ our Lord. Amen. I knew how to pray over my food. So you know, Abraham is this first-time Jew, and he's coming out of nothing, all right? So he doesn't even pray. I like that. Sometimes you just show up. Just show up, okay? All right, I kind of got lost there. Here we go. Let's go back here. All righty. So here is Abraham, and just think about in the midst of the giants, in the midst of, wow, I don't speak the language, in the midst of, I don't even have any land, okay? In this crazy world has problems, you guys, and God wants us to say, take these stones and say, hey, Lord, anybody have an issue in your life? Take your stone. Say, Lord, this is my stone, and I'm going to pile it up before you. Psh. Matter of fact, I got a couple of them. Pretty soon I got this big altar. Lord, I'm taking these issues in my life, this in the crazy world that I'm living in, and the, what's going on at work, and what's going on in my family, and I'm going to build this altar, Lord, and I'm going to lay this before you. I'm going to lay this financial. Lord, did you see the bill that came in the mail? I got a financial issue. Lord, I am just going to lay this before you. All right? Everybody got your altar built? All right? Anybody have a big one? Okay. So we pile them up. Then after you pile them up, you're piling them up to the Lord and you start worshiping him. In spite of, everybody say in spite of the giants, the pressure, the issues. All right, everybody, ready? So I built my altar, and now I'm just going to say, Lord, I am going to worship you. I'm going to worship you because you're God. You're my God. You're almighty. I'm going to worship you in spite of, all right? Now, or you could just leave your rocks laying around. You can leave your issues laying around. Or you can pick up those rocks and you can keep shooting people and right? Or how about you grab those issues in your life? Grab them. Say, Lord, I'm laying this before you. Lord, I'm an uncut rock. I'm just telling you like it is. Lord, I have this fear in my life, and I have that fear. Lord, I am struggling with, you know, and I'm struggling with this. And Lord, did you see that report from the doctor? Okay. Build your altar. Lay them down before the Lord. Okay. And then what do? Everybody hands up. Lord, in spite of all of that, I am going to worship you for who you are and what you do. Amen. All right. So, I like 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, we actually just did it. Okay? But listen to what it says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice in the Lord always. Okay? No matter what the giant looks like, no matter what the issue looks like, rejoice in the Lord always, right? Pray continually. Oh, we're going to get to pray. Give thanks in all circumstances. Okay? In the middle of, not for it, but I am going to worship you and give thanks that you are my God. All right? So give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. So, every once in a while, I don't have any rocks laying around. Every once in a while, I don't have some circumstances. Every once in a while, there's no pressure in my life. Every once in a while, I'm just skipping down the street. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to worship you, Lord, because I'm having a good week, right? Okay, then you can just worship him, all right? You don't have to wait. Okay, but then sometimes life is a mess. Anybody have some messes going on? Life is a mess, okay? So I take those stones, and I build my altar, and I worship God, and I say, God, I'm going to worship you in spite of that. And you know, when you start doing that, that's when God moves. I guarantee God moves. Now, He moves in our heart first, wink, wink, all right? But he'll move outside of that too, righty? So, altars alter us, all right? Altars alter us. Now, you know what's really fascinating? Here, Abraham has this altar thing going on with the Lord. He just builds his first altar, and then God says, hey, right now, I want you to move over here because we got another one. I was like, I just want to stay here. I was like, looking at this. Okay, nope. Immediately, he's built this altar, and God moves him to another place to build a second altar. All righty, open up to, well, I'll get to that in a minute, all right. Genesis chapter 12, verse 8. Genesis 12, 8. From there, everybody say there. You know, he just filled it. It's there, the first altar. From there, okay? For there, he went on towards the hills east of Bethel, underline that, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There, he built an altar to the Lord, which means he worshiped, okay? And called on the name of the Lord, which means prayer. All right. So Ai is just not some insignificant place. It's actually kind of a famous place later on. But remember what I said? All those Hebrew words and names, they're not face value. They mean something. So guess what Ai means? Ready? You'll just love this. A heap of ruin. That's what I live in, heap of ruin. I always laugh at the people that live in Helam because you know what they always say. But okay, delete. Okay, but I live in Ai. I live in a heap of ruin. That's a city, okay? And that, listen, I know I'm the salt and the light of the world, but wouldn't you agree it's kind of, the world's kind of a heap of ruins? It's pretty ugly. It's pretty messy out there. It is. It really is. Okay? So Ai is also the place, you'll remember this, okay, where the children of Israel were told to walk around the walls of Jericho, right? And then God had the walls fall down, and then they had this great victory. Okay, now right after that, they have this great victory, like, whoa, this is outrageous. And then right after there, a bunch of the Israelites are like, you know, there's another city over there. Oh, that's Ai. Okay, they got a little wall over there. You know, let's go get it. So they hop in their chariots. No, they don't know what they had back then. Okay. They hop in the chariots and they get there to Ai, and they, guess what happens? They get defeated. Some bunch of them die. They come running back. God! Anybody have your God cries? God! Everybody practice. God! All right? I've had a lot of those, okay? They get there and they cry out. Listen, they didn't have a victory going on in Ai. They were totally defeated and they run out and God says, you know, boys, you should have checked in with me first. Should have checked in with me first. All right, how many times do I go running out of the door, and then last we will usually go, oh, by the way, we should pray about that. I'm working on that. You know, that's not going to be my vocabulary, okay? And God's saying, hey, listen, whatever ruin, heap of ruins you got going because of whatever, okay, I'm still here to help you. Okay, I'm still here to help you. All right, and so, amen. Everybody say, he's still helping. Now, I know the world's in a heap of ruins, but there's also Bethel. Okay, Bethel, all right? So Abraham goes to build this altar, and Bethel was actually, and you'll remember this from last week, everybody say, I was here, I heard her, but yeah. But Abraham goes to build this, but it's really called Luz, L-U-Z, Luz, okay? He goes to build this temple at Luz, okay? And how many remember Jacob last week? That's Abraham's grandchild, and Jacob goes to sleep. He finds his rock, and he goes to sleep, and he has this dream from the Lord, right? Crazy dream, okay? And he sees heaven open up, and ladders going up and down, and angels going up and down, and then he wakes up, and he's like, whoa, God is in this place, right? Remember that? Okay? God is in this place, and he changes the name to Bethel, and you know what Bethel means? House of God. God is there. Everybody say there. There is there, okay? So, God brought Abraham to build his second altar, all right? And he brings him to a place where really it was a kind of a mess. It's a heap of mess. And God's going, no. Bethel's here. Wink, wink. God is here, wink, wink, all right? So, guys, whatever heap of mess you got going in your life, God is here, God is here. So what do? I'm going to take my rocks, I'm going to take my mess, I'm going to take my problems, and what am I going to do? This is the best thing you can do. I'm going to lay them down, and I'm going to worship God. I'm going to worship God in spite of the heap of ruins, in spite of the mess, in spite of the broken relation, in spite of this, in spite of that, okay? And the Lord is saying, goody, 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 good, because I am here to help you. Everybody say, help me. I know, that's usually my prayer. God, help me, okay? But he's there, okay? So, Genesis 12:8. Thank you, guys. Amen. Do you see the word Lord there? Twice? How is it spelled? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. I spelled it right. How about that? Sometimes they, okay. Whenever you see the word Lord in capitals, it means something. Come on, okay? It means something, okay? And it's it's the Hebrew word for Jehovah, and they're words and names for God. So whenever we see Lord, it really means Jehovah. Jehovah in the Hebrew, Jehovah. And whenever you see the word Jehovah, they usually are attached to another name or another description of who God is and what God does and what he has for you. So you'll see Jehovah and then something else, okay? And I'm telling you what, when you start seeing the something else, it'll change how you pray, it'll change how you worship, it'll alter you. All right, so I'm going to go over five of the biggies. At least I think they're biggies, okay? Some of you know them, okay? But first, take your issue. Pick up your stone. Come on, take your issue. Take your financial problem, your health problem, your kid problem, whatever problem, your doctor problem, okay? And we're going to lay them before the Lord. I'm laying in spite of what's going on, and I am going to worship the Lord, one, and pray and call on his name, Jehovah whatever. Okay, so let's go over them. First one, ready? First one, Jehovah Jireh, and I probably say it wrong because I don't speak Hebrew, okay? Jehovah Jireh, all right? Jehovah means self-existing one. That's for God, self-existing one. It also means the eternal one, Jehovah, the eternal one. And you put it together with Jireh, guess what it means? What does it mean? The eternal provider. Okay, so who am I going to worship? The eternal provider, all right? So now, I know it really has symbolism of who Jesus is in our life, but how about it has to do with whatever needs in your life? And God is saying, I can give you whatever you need. I can give you hope. I can give you peace. I can give you victory. I can give you this. I can give you that. I am going to worship Jehovah Jireh. Okay? You got your rocks down. You got your wood on. And you start to worship that. All righty? All right. Here's... So let's just say your stone has to do with finances. Anybody ever have some issues with finances? Ay, yay, yay, okay? And so I'm going to pile them up before the Lord, okay? And I'm going to start worshiping him. I'm going to worship Jehovah Jireh. I'm going to worship the eternal provider. And God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I worship you that you are Jehovah Jireh in my life. Amen? Amen. Here's the second one. Here we go. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, that means the Lord our healer. And sometimes, you know, you need healing in your soulish realm. Your thinking is stinking and you need some healing up there, okay? And sometimes it's just this body, okay? We need healing, alrighty? So you see yourself, and I'm going to bring this rock before the Lord, and I'm going to say, you know what, Lord? I'm laying this before you. I'm going to worship you because you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the... Amen. Oh, I missed, did I miss, Rapha, the healer. Sorry about that. You know, I'm going through my notes. All right. I'm still going to do it. Thank you. Shoot, it's really hot in here. I know. So, you know, I sneak in, and they have this thing set at 67 degrees, and I come in and jack it down to like 65. I do. But I'm standing, thanks, I know, wear your coats. But I'm standing under the lights sometimes. Okay. So that's my excuse. No, okay. How about the healer? All right. And Abraham did that, came before the Lord with his rocks, his stones, his issues, and he just said, you're Jehovah. You're my healer. You're my provider. Amen? All right, here's another one, and I like this one. Jehovah Tsidkenu. And I probably didn't pronounce it right. So I like this because if you're struggling with addictions or sins, this is what this means, okay? And just be real before the Lord. You know, you don't have to come in, oh, I got it all together. Are you kidding me? He sees you. He knows. So why are you doing that, right? So I just come before the Lord and I go, Lord, I'm just laying this down. You know what's going on in my life, you know? And Lord, I lay it down. You are the Lord of my righteousness. And I thank you, Lord, that I see Jesus who was made my righteous. And you help me see that and walk that out. So I just thank you that I am now the righteousness. And you know what you really have to do first? Just repent. God, you know, this happened, that happened, okay, with this and that. And just repent and then go, Lord, I'm just laying this pile over here and I thank you that you are my righteousness, all right? And he delivers us out of all evil. Amen? Praise God, all right. All right, that's number three. Here's number four. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our victory. So, God's chosen people, they God just did these crazy victories in their life, okay? That was really bad, and they defeated the enemy, and then they have all this victory, and they come out, and they call him Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our victory. Now, anybody need a little victory in your life? This is a good one then, all right? So you just say, Lord, you know, I got this thing going on, this, and it looks defeated. It looks dead. It looks bad. It looks like no way, Jose. And I'm going to lay this before you, and God, I am going to see you as my victory. I'm going to see you carry me through this to a victory. I'm going to walk with you because you are the victor. You are the victor. You bring victory, and I'm holding your hand, and I just know as I worship you, that is who you are, regardless of what I see. And that's called faith. That's called faith. I love this story my mother-in-law told about Jack. He was just a drug addict, flunking out of school, okay? And he was a mess, and my mother-in-law's just crying before the Lord, and she said, why don't you see him the way you want to see him? Why don't you see him with the victory? And she did. She changed the way she saw him. She saw victory. She saw victory. How about he got an issue? Can you see the victory? And she saw victory, and she said, and she, this is bananas. Listen to this. She saw him. This is this long. His hair is longer than mine. It was so pretty, though. It was longer than mine, and he's just this hippies in the 70s, and just pathetic looking. Okay, and she saw him wearing a three-piece suit. Back in the day, it was cool. Carrying a Bible. Well, guess what pastors did back in the day? He became a pastor, wearing a three-piece suit, carrying a Bible. She saw victory. So what's your pile that you have an issue in? Can you see a victory? You go, just right now, what do you want to see? It's your body, it's your finances, it's this thing or that thing. Just start seeing your victory. Praise God. Okay? In spite of all of that. Okay, and you know when you start doing that, you start worship. You lay that thing down, and you start worshiping God in spite of that. And you know, and you see Him as a victory. That's God saying, "Hey, I got you on my shoulders. I'm going to support you. I'm going to open your eyes, and I'm going to even show you more of the victory. Just in spite of that, worship me, call on my name. Amen. Praise God. Woo. Okay, and you know what the enemy does not want you to do? A lot of things. But he doesn't want you to worship him. Oh, you know, you get that. And you don't have to have, I love you guys up front, and you sound good. You don't have to have that. You just worship him, okay? He just, you know, worship him, worship him, worship him, worship him. Okay, and you know what else he doesn't want you to do? He doesn't want you to worship. And he doesn't want you, he really wants you to lay all your stones. Just leave them laying out. Just leave them laying out. You know, you can just stay a mess. You can be infecting. And then just leave your stones laying out here. Or better yet, pick them up and just throw them. Just throw them over here at Heather. Just, you know, say things to her. Okay. All right. That's what the devil wants to do. Right? He wants you to do. But how about we pick up these issues, we pick up these stones, we pick up the pressure and the hard things in life, and we just lay them before the Lord and say, Lord, in spite of them, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to worship you and see victory. Okay, here's your last one. Jehovah Shammah. Probably said that one, right? Okay? The Lord is here. Everybody say here. The Lord is present. The Lord is present. Some of you might be here and you're just saying, God, I just feel so alone. God, I feel so alone, okay? Lord, my spouse isn't even connected to you. Nobody in my family is connected with you. God, I just feel alone. Wait a minute. If you've received Jesus into your life, he moved in. You are not alone. He is present. The Holy Spirit is there, okay? Change the way you say, he's there, he's there. He is ever present, and he is there. Praise God. Okay, Pastor D, how do you end this? I don't know. Okay. We're just going to stay seated, all right? Just, y'all know about issues, okay? And if you've got a great week, you don't have any, you can't remember anybody, I'll tell you some people that have issues that need you, okay? So we're going to take right now, just pick them up. And I'm going to build this. I think mine's about yay big, okay? I'm going to throw wood on it. And my sacrifice, my surrender is, Lord, I just worship you. I worship you. You are God that can do and fix and change all of this. And regardless and in spite of it all, I worship you and I call on your name. Maybe the healer, the provider, the there with you, okay? The righteousness. And Lord, I call on your name. And I thank you that you do what only you can do in my life. And I'm changed. Man, okay. So God changed Abraham. He altered his life. And he became a leader of a nation that it just, so good, all right? But, I was like, but it was as he continued to build altars. So you just built your altar, and maybe tomorrow's just a hopping, a skipping day, but the next day, build your altar, all right? Sometimes I build the altar while I'm driving to work because I'm thinking of all the issues that I'm going to walk into, and I just start building that altar there. Sometimes I'm like, last night, man, my head, I was trying to go to bed. The Lord said, practice what you preach. So I said, okay, I'm going to start building this altar last night so I could finally go to sleep. Okay, so I love you guys. I love you guys. Man, it's so hot in here. Jeez Louise. What's it set at? Come on, Jason, what is that thing? It's got to be 80 degrees in here. It's 70 what? 73 in here. It's hot in here. So after church, you know, I run out in the outside. I just cool down real good. But, all right. Father, we thank you for altars. Father, we thank you that altars change us. And Father, I thank you by your grace and your Spirit of God that you will remind us this week to lay our stones before you. To surrender with a broken heart, just surrender it all to you. And Lord, we're going to come to you. Just remind us that, you know, we don't have to be all polished up. We just come raw and real. And Lord, we just cry out to you. We cry out to you and we cry out your name. And Father, we come to you just this week. And I thank you. You just help us to see it, to do it, and live it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay, one more thing. And you think you're good. I'm like so hot. Okay. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Most important thing. And some days I go home and I go, man, this is it. This is the sweet spot. But I have to ask you a really serious question. It has to do with eternity. Because there is eternity. It's eternal. It's eternity. But really, I just want to ask you, do you know where your eternity is? Okay. And what I'm really asking is, do you know what you've done with Jesus, because someday you will stand before the Lord and he'll say, what have you done with my son, Jesus? And if you can't remember a day and a time and a place, okay, where you asked Jesus to come into your life, to forgive you your sins, today's a great day. Today's a great day to call on the name of the Lord. He says, whoever calls on my name, I will save. I will wash them. I will bring them into my family. And you will have an eternity with me and my Father and the Holy Spirit and all these saints. All right, so I have to ask, is there somebody here that you need a need an eternity where you know, where you know. And it's really, really quite simple. I'm so glad, you know, I'm so glad that God makes it simple. So he simply says, hey, you know, call on my name and you'll be saved. And whoever believes in their heart that God sent his son Jesus to die for you, and believe in your heart and speak it out with your mouth, he says, you'd be saved. Okay, and then there's a growing afterwards, but this, the beginning part's easy. So with everybody's eyes closed, is there anybody here you would like us to pray for you? This would be the greatest day of your life to receive the Lord Jesus. Is there anybody here? Okay. All right. All right, look at everybody, say, family. Amen. Amen. All right, stand up. You guys are blessed coming in, blessed going out. Open the front door. I'm going to stand out there and cool down and have some coffee. In Jesus' name, have a wonderful week. Amen. Praise the Lord.